23. What forms of spiritual warfare can the lay faithful carry out at abortion mills or anywhere else? Two forms of spiritual warfare are most appropriate at abortion mills: organized prayer and sidewalk counseling. I emphasize organized prayer because too often the people who gather at abortion mills do so with very little internal discipline, and their meetings devolve into loose talkative groups rather than disciplined spiritual warfare. The areas in front and around of abortion mills are always hotbeds of demonic activity, so it is necessary that the people who do this ministry maintain a strong sense of discipline, organization, and prayer. I strongly advocate the praying of the St. Michael the Archangel prayer by the laity at these places of death. There is no prohibition to praying the exorcism of Pope Leo XIII privately by any priest who goes to a mill, as long as it is done discreetly and with no fanfare that could give the impression that the priest is performing a solemn exorcism. Spontaneous prayers of deliverance and binding always effectively confront the spiritual stronghold at any abortion mill, and they are entirely nonviolent. One must always guard against the superstitious mindset toward deliverance, however. Such prayers are not a form of Catholic magic that shuts down clinics. They are exercises of spiritual authority and faith, which always have some spiritual effect on the demonic forces that are gathered at the physical location, even if its effects are not immediately seen or known. Sidewalk counseling is also a form of spiritual warfare when it is done prayerfully and professionally. There are some simple techniques that one can learn in order to be an effective sidewalk counselor. Whenever there are sidewalk counselors doing their work, it is also recommended that there be a team of prayer warriors to do nothing but pray and support them in this work. One other form of spiritual warfare that needs much more discussion and commitment on the part of the church is the establishment of Eucharistic adoration chapels in parishes near abortion mills. The growth of perpetual adoration chapels in parishes across America, I believe, has already been very effective in reducing the number of abortionists and death clinics in America. More than anything, the establishment of a perpetual adoration chapel near an abortion mill signifies that a local church community is serious about ending abortion in their neighborhood. Every publicly known abortionist's name should be enshrined before a monstrance in a perpetual adoration chapel near the place where his or her dirty business is conducted. 24. How can pro-lifers on the front lines protect themselves spiritually? Those who do hand-to-hand combat with the devil at abortion mills or have direct contact with rabid abortion proponents must spiritually protect themselves and their families from the power of evil. While we have weapons of righteousness for the destruction of spiritual strongholds, the devil also has his own weapons of darkness for the destruction of the life of grace. He uses them against those who oppose his kingdom. The most basic form of spiritual protection is simply living in a state of grace, defined as keeping one's soul free of mortal sin and striving to overcome all venial sin in one's life. An added spiritual protection comes from actively developing the theological, cardinal, and moral virtues in one's life and trying to discern God's will on a daily basis. Living a fervent life of grace should normally be sufficient for spiritual protection, even on the front lines of combat with the devil and his minions. A method that all soldiers can use to assure protection from demonic powers is the practice of binding evil spirits. Fundamentally, a binding prayer is simply a spontaneous prayer that is said when one discerns the presence of some evil force acting in his life or in the physical location that he is in. A binding prayer simply restricts the ability of an unclean spirit to harm, seduce, or manipulate human beings. Any binding prayer consists of three elements: the name of Jesus, the name of the unclean spirit, and a command to be bound. At an abortion mill, for example, a person can bind any of the unclean spirits that are present at that spiritual stronghold: the spirits of abortion, birth control, coercion, fear, greed, violence, witchcraft, etc. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind the spirit of. A prayer of this type often has to be repeated for its effect, and the results of it are not always evident to our eyes, but the demons understand the nature of a binding prayer because it always restricts the scope of their violence in some way. A binding prayer is more effective when two or three gather in the name of Jesus to pray, and it is always an expression of the authority over demons that all Christians have been given by our Lord. 25. What is the spiritual significance of pregnancy care centers? Pregnancy care centers are the humble workers of the pro-life movement whose tangible services back up the spiritual authority of the church with the corporal works of mercy. The church does not ignore the temporal reality of the people who are caught in the vice grip of the culture of death, but loves them both, as Dr. John Wilkie has said. These centers often save babies by facilitating the change of an abortion-minded or abortion-vulnerable woman's choice. This in itself is a spiritual act, since the power to make decisions is rooted in the will, one of the spiritual faculties of the soul. Just as a possessed person cannot be liberated without some act of cooperation with God's grace, so the woman must say no to the demon of abortion that tempts her. The pregnancy care center workers cannot make the decision for her. She must be willing to reject the temptation to do such an evil act. For this reason, pregnancy care center workers perform spiritual works of mercy by exposing the temptations to murder, by instructing the ignorant, by counseling the doubtful about the sanctity of human life, and by praying for those who need it most. We ought to be extremely grateful for the millions of babies whose lives have been saved through the self-sacrificing commitment of those who work in pregnancy care centers. We will never know how many millions of women, men, and babies have been helped with the tangible charity of these champions of the church. 26. What is the most successful model of pro-life spiritual warfare? The most successful model of the pro-life spiritual warfare is the Jericho model. The passage about the siege of Jericho gives the template that is most effective for the church militant's battle against the culture of death. It starts with Joshua's vision of Saint Michael the Archangel and the promise that God has already delivered Jericho and its king into Joshua's power. Spiritual warfare is always based on the fundamental conviction that God has already won the battle and sent us in to fight it with full assurance of victory. All parts of this model make up the church militant marching into battle. When the full force of the obedient and disciplined church is brought to the gates of hell of the abortion industry, there is no force of demons that can withstand the spiritual onslaught. Everyone knows how this story ends. The walls of Jericho came crumbling down without so much as a single shot being fired. This passage is often used by opponents of the pro-life movement to accuse us of advocating violence, which is explicitly forbidden by our Christian code of ethics, except in legitimate self-defense. The truth is that our Christian power is not human. It is one of blessing and love, which has nothing to do with violence and seeks only the conversion of the perpetrators of the real violence of abortion. In effect, the church doesn't need to commit any violent acts. We have a more powerful weapon: prayer. 27. What are the two most effective forces in the American pro-life movement today? Along these lines, I consider the two most effective groups in the pro-life movement to be Monsignor Philip Riley's Helper of God's Precious Infants and the relatively new 40 Days for Life movement. The helpers are explicitly dedicated to implementing the Jericho model, bringing the power of Christ to the gates of the abortion hell. Monsignor Riley is a longtime pro-life activist, a faithful priest, and a former seminary rector from Brooklyn. And from his many years of experience, he developed a simple form of combating the abortion demon based upon many trials and errors of the pro-life movement up to that point. He created the system of prayer vigils and processions that go out to the places of killing. His refreshingly spiritual approach to the abortion holocaust mobilizes tens of thousands of people all around the world every year to participate in spiritual prayer vigils. These consist of masses in churches near abortion mills, followed by Eucharistic adoration. The attendees march in procession to a nearby abortion mill, praying the rosary, while some remain behind praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament. At the mill, they intercede in silence for the staff of the abortion centers and any others who support the business. Monsignor also asks people to spiritually go to Calvary and stay there, interceding for the innocent ones being crucified by abortion, as well as their executioners. The helpers also train sidewalk counselors for the ministry of personally inviting people out of the darkness and into the light of Christ. The helpers movement has formed and mobilized the church militant more than any other organization I have seen, and they closely work with Human Life International around the world. Their prayer vigils have successfully closed clinics, converted abortionists, caused women and men to choose life, given the people of God effective leadership, and perhaps the greatest miracle of all, they have gotten over 100 bishops to go to abortion mills to pray. The 40 Days for Life movement began in 2004 in College Station, Texas, under the leadership of David Barrett and Sean Carney, and employed a similar idea to the helpers in fighting the spiritual forces of abortion. They used the biblical notion of Christ's own 40 days of prayer and fasting in the desert and confrontation with Satan before his public ministry as a model of spiritual warfare against our modern demons. The fruitfulness of an apostolic work is its own testimony. The 40 Days for Life movement now spans 280 cities across all 50 of the United States, 6 Canadian provinces, plus locations in Australia, Northern Ireland, and Denmark. The movement has brought perhaps tens of thousands of people into the spiritual battle against the culture of death and saved more than 2,168 babies at the time of this writing, according to their best estimates. May the Lord continue to bless their work. 28. What role does the church have to play in fighting the culture of death? As hinted in the last question, the church is the only religious authority that has the spiritual power to free a society of its abortion demons. The church means the church that Christ founded, which subsists in the Catholic Church, and which is a communion of believing persons uniting heaven and earth. The church militant, led by consecrated churchmen with spiritual authority, buoyed by the holy power of its religious orders, fully employing the dynamic gifts of prayer of the laity, is the church that brings the power of Christ to the gates of Jericho. This warfare is not the responsibility of the clergy alone or the laity alone, but of all its members together. The angels and the saints of heaven are also involved, as they assist the church militant in its earthly battles against the forces of evil. Furthermore, the church militant is perfectly equipped to battle the demon of abortion and the whole culture of death. The church confronts the false gospel of radical feminist rhetoric with the truth of Jesus Christ in its well-elaborated social doctrine and moral teaching. The catechism, the intellectual patrimony of the church, and the church's universities and seminaries are strong weapons against the lies and deceptions of the devil. Furthermore, the Catholic Church has such an impressive system of parishes, schools, and healthcare facilities that its actual ability to deliver the message to youths and adults is potentially greater than any single private institution on the face of the earth. To combat the appalling rhetoric of abortion as a sacrament, the Catholic Church has immense spiritual and sacramental resources that it can bring to the warfare. Eucharistic and Marian devotions are the most potent weapons against these evils, as well as devotion to the angels, especially Saint Michael the Archangel. No abortion demon could possibly withstand the sacramental authority of the Church if it were invoked properly. Finally, with its hierarchical authority, the Church could potentially tear down every spiritual stronghold of evil in our world. It is for this reason that the Church has been entrusted the power of the keys to bind and loose, and to stand before the gates of hell, to batter them with the authority of Christ. We have His promise that they will not prevail against the authority when properly applied. Priests and bishops have the authority to name these demons, confront them, and cast them out as exorcists do. Such a confrontation requires immense moral courage, both on the part of the ecclesiastical leaders who wield it and on the part of the people who must support and cooperate with that authority when it is exercised. 29. How can I get my priest to speak more from the pulpit about abortion and contraception? I get asked this question on every continent and in every place I speak, and my answer is always the same. If a priest is not actively preaching about the life issues, which are the very core of the church's prophetic witness in the modern era, then we must ask him to do so. Some need only a stimulus from the laity, and they will respond. If the invitation is made and there is still no response, there are other initiatives of the laity that are possible. They can invite the priest to an abortion clinic to experience the abortion business firsthand. They can provide good pro-life homily notes to the priest, or just tell him how desperately his leadership is needed in this area and see if he responds. It is worth trying to help a priest to be faithful to his own vocation, but it is also important not to waste too much time on faithless and cowardly priests. They will receive their own judgment before the throne of God, and it will be severe. While the least of Christ's brethren are suffering cruel deaths in the abortion chamber down the street from many churches, the gutless shepherds will have to account for their silence. I always discourage complaining too much about weak or negligent priests and recommend much more focus on the future. It is much more productive for the laity to assist the younger generation of priests and seminarians in integrating the pro-life priority into their priesthood. We must also strongly support those few clergy who actually do speak out on the life issues, because they will be attacked most ferociously from within the church. Christ, the Good Shepherd, will take care of the rest.